Blog Talk Radio.
I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior, Lord, I come to thee, I need thee, oh, I now, my Savior, Lord, I come to thee. Hallelujah. This is Apostle Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of Wardrobe of Ministry. I bring you greetings from Hondo, Colabon. I bring you greetings from our ministry. Hallelujah. I'm so excited and delighted that you have chosen today to study the Word of God with us. I just thank and praise God for you in radio land and those that's on the radio broadcast. I thank God for you on today. I give God all praise and glory. He is my everything and my all in all. I just want to call out studying the word to order on today. Hallelujah. I'm just going to read a scripture and pray. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 51. It reads as follows. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sins is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was chafing in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. I just read from Psalms 51, from the first verse down to the eighth verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come on today humbly before your throne of grace, asking you on today to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come, Lord, if we've offended anyone in any kind of way at any time in our lives, Lord, we ask your forgiveness right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask you to search our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. If there is anything, I'm saying it again, if there is anything in there that should not be, Lord, we ask you to send the fire of God to burn it out and remove it right now. In the name of Jesus, we ask you to create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind on tonight. Lord, I come right now asking you to bind up the strong man and bind up the strong man right now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bind up anything that try to come against them, any of us, hallelujah, that's up under the sound of my voice, in the name of Jesus. Bind up any demonic thing, any evil thing, any negative thing, Lord, that try to come against us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking you right now, Lord, to take the blood of Yeshua, HaMashiach, the blood of Jesus, and keep us covered right now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm asking you right now, Lord, to cover our children, cover our families on today, in the name of Jesus. I come right now, Father, asking you to bless our Bible class on tonight. I'm asking you to cover our minds and our thoughts in the shed blood of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, open our minds and let us be receptive to your word, Lord. Let us receive the word from you on today. I'm asking you myself to let devil decrease, that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, can teach his people on today. I'm laying my will down. Oh, yes, Lord, I'm laying it down. I surrender right now that you can use me to teach your people on this evening. In Jesus' name, I pray and I ask all these things. Amen, and thank God. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I give praise and honor to God today, who is my life. Hallelujah. I thank and praise God for just another day that he's kept me. And I'm so grateful. I'm excited. All before I get in the word and get on the radio broadcast, I'll be feeling down. But soon, as I say my prayers, as I open up the broadcast, hallelujah, God gives me strength, hallelujah. And I'm so grateful, and I'm so glad about it today. You know, I'm excited today because he's an awesome God. He is an awesome God. He's a great God, King of kings and Lord of lords. I thank him today. I'm asking him now to open up his word to us on today. We're going to be continually studying on prayer. We have just a little more to study from this prayer, the prayer to revival. We're going to go after we leave this and go to the, we're going to be studying the intercessors, the prophetic intercessor, in the intercessory prayer gift, because a lot of us don't know we have the gift. A lot of us just don't know. But I'm here to tell you today that you have the gift. So I'm going to go over some things with you, because my assignment is to activate the gift that's within you. Hallelujah. And God give me to do that, to activate the gift that's in you. You have a gift. Hallelujah. And it needs to be activated. So we want to activate that gift so you can hear God's voice and you can start ministering to people, not saying what we want to say, but say what we hear. Hallelujah. That God whispering in us, that the Holy Ghost whispering into our ear. So let me just go over this last little chapter, last little thing. We're going to be talking about the power for prayer. We talked a little bit about it last week. We were talking about prayer that would powerfully combat the forces of Satan must be based on the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. You know, when you're fighting the enemy, when you're coming up against Satan, you better not come playing, because he's not a play toy. You got to come right. You got to come with some power. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I'm asking everybody to mute their phones, too, if you will, please. Mute your phones so I won't hear. And you can't come up against Satan with some little petty stuff. You don't bring a bat to a gunfight. You don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Hallelujah. You better bring a gun to a gunfight or something greater. You can't do that. And when we go up against Satan, the only thing that defeats Satan, that can defeat Satan, is the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, or the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, or the name of Yeshua. That's Jesus' original name, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Those names and the blood defeat Satan. This is a sure foundation on which we can build our faith in order to pray effectively. No other biblical foundation exists in order to pray effectively. No other biblical foundation exists that will give us the necessary understanding which will guide us during moments of testing and doubt. The Word of God, the Scriptures, is the basis of our understanding of what the covenant is and its supreme importance to every Christian. Before we understand how this covenant of grace is the foundation of our prevailing prayer, we must understand the nature of the covenant. See, the blood is powerful. Mixed with the covenant, or the covenant is powerful, mixed with the blood, because the blood is powerful. The shed blood of Jesus is powerful. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it does so many things, the blood of Jesus. And once we have the biblical foundation of the blood covenant of Jesus Christ, there is really no stopping us. The Word and the Scripture is just the basic of our understanding of what the covenant is and its supreme importance. A covenant is a mutual contract between individuals, and especially between kings and rulers. And we went over this the other day. Like, Abraham made a covenant with Amalek. That's in Genesis 21:27. Joshua made a covenant with God's people, Joshua 24:25. Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, 1 Samuel 20:16. Ahab made a covenant with Benadad, 1 Kings 20:34. Therefore, we must base our understanding of what a covenant is on the scriptural record of contracts or agreements which had to be lived up to. God's relationship with man has also been based on a covenant. From God's relationship with Adam in the Garden of Eden to God's relationship with the church, God has always specified what the responsibilities of each party were in his dealing with us. He always told us, he made it clear, if we would live up to our end of the agreement, then God would live up to his. If we break the agreement, then the proper and justified results of our breaking our contract would ensue. Therefore, in God's covenant, which with man, there have always been specifically named parties or principles, mutual stipulations or promises, and specified conditions. Okay? The parties in the covenant made through the blood of Christ are the new covenant. The parties are God himself and fallen mankind, which is us, man through his original sin, the sin of Adam, fell from grace and favor of God. Therefore, he is living out a fellowship with his creator and is lost in the muck and mire of sin. Man is not a sinner because he sins, but he sins because essentially he is a sinner. Motivated by pure, unprovoked, and unmerited love, God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to assume man's nature. He sent his only begotten Son. He wrapped him in human flesh and sent it down here to work this thing out for us. His purpose was to live perfect, and live a sinless life within that nature, forever providing the ability that man was given originally to live above sin. Jesus Christ then suffered the price of man's sin, death on the cross. Through the atoning death, God's wrath was satisfied. Access to God was made available for man. So he sent Jesus down to die for us, to redeem us back to God. If Jesus had not come down, if God had not sent his only begotten Son, would we be in hell burning continuously somewhere? But he, with his compassion and his grace and his unmerited favor and his mercy, he sent Jesus down to die for us. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad about that. It's just, even up on all the times that we could just thank him for waking us up and all the rest of the stuff that we do every day, upon all of that, we forget about he died for our sins. You know, and then he have all this other stuff every day, to keep us from and keep things from happening. And He died for us, and then he loved us enough that he supplied roof over our head, and then he heals our bodies, and he allow us to see and have a hearing, and we can speak, and we can stand, and we have all the activities of our lives every day. Hallelujah. Then on top of that, he wakes us up every morning. Hallelujah. He's waking me up every morning, hallelujah, for the last 60 years, hallelujah. Every morning he wakes me up, hallelujah. He don't have to do that. And he wakes you up too, and everyone in radio land. He wakes you up every morning, hallelujah. He don't have to do that. But Jesus, hallelujah. He's a great shepherd, hallelujah. And we are his sheep. I'm telling you, it's so good. It's good, I tell you. In God's covenant with Israel, Moses acts as the mediator of that covenant. I'm sorry. In other words, Moses was given the responsibility to explain the implications of the covenant to the people. In the new blood covenant of Christ, he is the mediator of that covenant through the record which he left behind for the benefactors of the new agreement to follow. Hebrews views the two covenants and judges the new ones to be better due to the promises made by their mediator, which is Jesus Christ. God performs the word. Man is the beneficiary of the promises. Yet in reality, and under closer scrutiny, the covenant is really between the Father and the Son, and that the Father promises Jesus in an inheritance and a kingdom which he fulfilled when he raised Christ up from the dead. In Psalms 40, Hebrews 10, John 17 and 4, and Galatians 4 and 4, God revealed the pre-adventure nature of Christ's work on earth. These, as well as many other references, clearly show the eternal plan or agreement between the Father and the Son, which results in redemption. Whew. The Son's part of the agreement was to prepare a proper and lasting habitation on earth for God. The Lord was never satisfied with the tabernacle of Moses, which spoke of things to come. He was never satisfied with the temples built by Solomon or Herod. Yeah, we went over this. He desired a place of continual and mutual habitation so that all might view and appreciate the revealed glory. Therefore, Jesus Christ would prepare this habitation in the church. He also would prepare a body through which God could perform his divine purpose in the earth. Christ himself being the head of that body, this body would be perfect and without blemish, just as Adam's original body was perfect. However, the new body would be better because it would be compromised of millions of people throughout the world, and it would never disobey because the head is the Son himself. The Son was to give the Holy Spirit without measure to the new family on earth, the church. The Holy Spirit had come partially on human flesh in the past, causing men to prophesy, perform miracles, and reveal the nature and the will of God. Yet the new promise would give the Holy Spirit in fullness by giving him to redeem mankind. In this way, the church would be able to have sufficient grace to accomplish the will of God, not out of the duty, but out of desire. The Holy Spirit would also be able to reserve the effects of sin on humans nature and would adorn the body of Christ with beauty, strength, and holiness, that he would return to his Father and sit with him on his throne, making intercession for the fulfillers of his will. In doing so, the effects of bruising the head of Satan would culminate in the total destruction of the devil's kingdom and annihilation of all evil from the earth. And that's in Jesus Christ renovate this earth and bring the heavens here on earth, and it's going to be just like that. We all have glorified bodies and stuff like that. The promises by the Father to Christ, and we're just at the last ending of it because I want to talk a little bit about the prophetic intercessors today. The Father would deliver the Son from the power of death. Others had died and been raised from the dead for a while, but later they too had to die. Yet No one from Adam till Christ had ever died and been raised to live forever. In doing this, the Father not only raised the Son, but broke the power of death itself. Paul calls the power of death the greatest power to be destroyed. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. Therefore, by destroying the power of death, all authority was given to Christ in heaven and on earth. The Father would grant Christ the ability to give the Holy Spirit in fullness to whomever he would. By having this authority, he could give the ability to members of his body to perform the will of the Father, that the Father would steal and protect, that the Father would seal and protect all that came to Christ through the Holy Spirit, that the Father would give him an inheritance, comprise of people from all nations from the earth, and that his kingdom or dominion would be forever and ever, that through the extension of Christ as the head of the church, the body would be able to attest to all principalities and powers, the eternal and manifold wisdom of the Father, justifying the creation of God, love mankind from all eternity. Now, the conditions of this, the condition under which the covenant between the Father and the Son took place, was that the Son would come in the form and nature of man, subject to all the same temptations, and not relying on his divine nature, he would overcome every test the same way man can overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ would also submit himself to death, even other people. It says ignoramus, death of the cross. Even the ignoramus, death of the cross. Christ would shed his precious and sinless blood that would forever seal those who would believe in him. Christ being the legal second party to the eternal and better new covenant, having fulfilled all his promise, having received the promises of the Father, and having met all the conditions, has now clearly established the access that we have to the Father in prayer. In other words, we have the right, a legal right, to approach the Father in prayer. So, I don't know, a lot of you, and you in Radio Land and you on our broadcast, they were saying about sealing until Jesus come back. You know, some people believe that you can be sealed once you accept Christ, that you can be sealed until the day of redemption. You know, it sounds good and all that, but some people fall from grace, just like Adam did. Some people fall. Some people, I say this, you can't live any kind of way you want to live all your life, and right before you die, you think you can go into the kingdom. I don't believe that. I believe that you are sealed, but you can, or you are covered or whatever, but you can get out of that covering by continually sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning. That's how I feel about it, because, you know, you got people, if so, you'll have people that live any kind of way they want to live all their lives, and then at the end, they would accept Jesus and be saved. You can't live any kind of way. It's a way you have to live. It's a, when you really and truly accept Jesus and believe on him, it's a way you have to live anyway. It's a way you have to walk. It's a way you have to carry yourself. We're all sinners. Believe me. We're all sinners saved by grace. When you think you're so perfect that you don't sin, something wrong with you. You're a lie, and the truth is not in you. That's what the Bible says. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Each one of us sin. I'm an apostle in some more things, But let me tell you something. I still know that I sin, and I have to ask God for forgiveness every day, not just 2 months or 10 years ago. Every day we sin and fall short of the glory of God. So we have to, that's why we have to repent every day. If you don't do anything that you can, and if you can't remember anything that I ever said or taught you, remember this. When you wake up in the morning, you thank God for waking you up, and you repent as many times a day as you can, because we sin so many times a day and don't even think we be sinning. Don't even know it. Have no idea, have no clue at all that we're sinning. So I don't know all everything. So I say, Father, maybe by 10 o'clock in the morning, maybe by 2 o'clock, I repent again for my sins. Every time y'all hear me pray, that's the first thing I say, because that's how you get your prayers answered. If you've been sinning all day and you go in prayer in your prayer closet and you don't repent, you thinking God going to answer your prayers. He's not. I'm just telling you right now, he won't do it. You need to come clean and repent. You can't go before God any kind of way. You can't go up before him. I wouldn't dare go before God without trying to clean myself up some kind of way. Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, do something before I go before you. Mm-mm. I repent as many times as I can every day, because I want God to forgive me. If I've offended anyone, forgive me, Lord. I ain't trying to please man. I'm trying to please God. When I go before the Lord, the first thing I want to be in his will. The only way I can be and stay in his will is to repent of all sins. He forgives us so many times every day, and that's how we're supposed to forgive people. But a lot of us don't. We don't know about that. We'll forgive them, but we don't forget it. And when you don't forget it, it don't set well with God. It's not a forgiving. A lot of people think that they've forgiven, but they haven't, because they keep it in their back of their mind and all this and this and this. Honey, let me tell you something. Time is winding up. It's prayer time now. It is prayer time now. This is a season right here. This is why this is so important, because it's actually time for intercessors to be in their places right now. Intercessors need to come forward. They talk about conferences and revivals. We need to have an intercessor meeting for just intercessors. Pray 2 or 3 days. Glory to God. Just stay in just like they have a 3-day revival. We need to have a 3-day prayer. This is praying time now. You know, and God keep putting it on my heart, and that's what I'm going to do. It's time to pray. See, some of the signs that the Lord says when he's going to come back, it's going to be wars and rumors of wars. It's almost a civil war, white against black right now. Hallelujah. Right now. But it's wars everywhere. ISIS and the other people and, you know, Korea over there and all that kind of stuff. It's wars and rumors of wars going on right now. It's enough that's already happened for Jesus to burst through the clouds right now. It's enough stuff has already happened. So it's praying time now. That's why God put on my heart to teach about prayer and intercessory prayer, because it's so important right now for us to be interceding, I tell you, for the people of God, for our families, for the leaders of this nation, the leaders of our churches. You know, always remember, judgment is going to begin at the house of God. And believe me, it has already begun at the house of God, because preachers are falling dead in the pulpit. When I tell you they are, they are. You know, he exposing people. I was just telling my husband today, about when I was living in Florida, I met the young preacher, and then after I got back to Missouri, he died of an overdose. But he had thousands of people in his congregation. You got thousands of people you preaching to, and you on drugs? See, we got to know how to discern the Holy Ghost. It says, try the Spirit by the Spirit. Try the Spirit by the Spirit. You don't be sitting up under nobody. The Spirit ain't right. That's who draw all the people. The ones that's not really doing right. Somebody like me, you get two or three people, and you try to do everything you can. But the ones that my husband had me laughing today about how Joel Osteen, he gets on television, he preach, you don't never see his Bible. You don't never take a text, and people be falling out, falling down. I don't have nothing against Joel because I used to listen to him myself. But he, you don't never see his Bible. You don't never hear him say nothing about Jesus. Jesus, nothing. If you don't believe me, the next time you see him, watch him and listen. He never says anything about Jesus. He don't mention his name. He's taking a lot of people to hell if they don't believe in Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can get through the Father, by Jesus. You have to. There's no other way to get through the Father but by Jesus. You got to accept him. He said, me and my Father are one. No other door you can go in to God but by Jesus. No other avenue, no other vehicle, no other way. Mm-mm. You have to go through Jesus to get to God. And a lot of people don't believe, but only in God. But they don't know. They got to come through by Jesus to get to God. And so we have to pray all these things. We got so much. Just like I was preaching yesterday about the debtors. We are debtors of the gospel. We got to preach this gospel. We got to teach this gospel. We got to let people know that the only way they can get to God is through Jesus. Some folks don't know, like the lady that I take care of. I asked her last night, I said, you believe in Jesus? I said, do you know about Jesus? She said, well, they say he's God's son. I said, he was God's son. I said, he is God's son. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I said, so have you accepted him? I don't know. I said, but you need to accept him. So when I go back, she's going to have to tell me. I'm going to say, repeat after me. And I'm going to have her to repeat the sinner's prayer. Huh? Glory to God. So she can get in the ranks, and I'm going to explain to her that that's the only way you can get to God, but by Jesus, except by Jesus. We have to do this. God has placed this on us to do. But then we got to be praying for people to come in. God calls the people to come in to him. He can draw them in. They only come in by the Holy Spirit drawing them. That's how they come in. So we got to pray that God draws people in. You know, there's so many folks still out in the world. There's so many people have never heard the gospel, too. So we got a lot to do. We got a lot to do. And time is winding up. So, you know, I'm thanking and praising God for this study on prayer. But now we're going to go to the prophetic part or the intercessor part of it. Intercessory prayer is simply praying on behalf of others. And when this is teamed up with the prophetic gift, it can be powerful. See, intercessory, I've been praying intercessory for about 40, 50 years. I've been praying intercessory prayer for other folks. for a long time, at least 40 years, I know. And it's still good, because the more you pray, the more you want to pray. The more you pray and get into it, the more you want to do it. I mean, if you continue to do it, the unction of the Holy Ghost will tell you when to go to it, when to go do it. It sure will. He sure will. Intercessory prayer is just praying on the behalf of others and for other things. Prophetic prayers occurs when we pray with insight. Prophetic revelation received from the Holy Spirit. We may receive these insights during prayer or prayer by revelation that has already been received. Now, a lot of times, and that's why I don't know how many of you in Radio Land or in our studio that have that know how to pray, that God has given the gift of tongues, praying in tongues, and the ones that's connected to this ministry, I'm going to pray. That's a job for me to pray that God gives you all the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because I'm telling you, it's so good to have. It's good to have. You think it's not, and that we just praying a lot of gibberish, but it's not. It builds you up. The tongues build you up, edify you. You know, it's good to have the gift of tongue. It may be the least gift, but anything God make is good. Anything he make is good. And I want everything that God has for me. Everything he got for me, I want it. I don't care if it's the littlest thing, if it's big as a mustard seed. He used that. And it's a tiny little seed. I want that. Anything that God got for me, I want it. We can all pray prophetically. However, a prophetic intercessor is not only equipped with insight from the Spirit. Intercessor becomes the vessel through whom the Spirit himself prays, and that's praying in tongues. That's praying in tongues. I can lay my hand on you. I can pray and lay my hands on you and pray, and you will speak in tongues. Mm-hmm. Because God gave me that gift. I sure can. Believe that. By the grace of God. I know my husband and I were praying one night, and he had said he had been filled, but he don't remember speaking in tongues. And so this was before we got married. And he was playing around, I was playing, and I was saying, pray, pray, pray. If he didn't pray in tongues, I'm telling you, but that was the assignment God had given me at one time, helping people get filled with the Holy Ghost and praying and speaking in other tongues. But this is why we have to get together. I don't know how God is going to do this thing, but all I know is he's going to do it. He's going to do this thing to get us together. So things are not just for service, but if other people want to join, they can. I'm just waiting on God to put it together, because usually in September, October is around the time that I have some kind of service. I usually been ahead about 4 or 5 services, but I have only 1 or 2 services this year. But one is coming up. I'm going to have to do one, because I need to get all of you in one place so God can do whatever it is that he wants to do. And I may be able to talk to an apostle to see if she'll let me use her church to get this thing done. A lot of people won't, but I know she's a sweet lady and she may. But I have to talk to her about it. Because before, I think I spent $1,200 just on a banquet room. But we need to get this done. And we need to invite other people. We'll invite other people to come. You are in radio land. You're welcome to come. If you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is time. In the same way, the Spirit helps us it helps us in our weakness. The same kind of way He helps us in our weakness, He'll help us through the Holy Ghost. He'll help us. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through the world is groans. And see, people don't know. They say, well, it don't take all that. She ain't got to do all that. I told y'all before, ain't no cute prayer. I can't pray cute. Oh, the Father God and all that kind of stuff. I be hollering out His name, moaning, groaning, whatever it is I got to do, crying, slinging snot. Don't make me no difference. I see, I'm trying to please God. My desire is to please God. And when I'm trying to get a prayer through or an answer to a prayer, I go at it. I press my way through, and I press and I press. And when I tell you, every time I pray, God answer my prayer. Every time I pray, I'm telling you, I don't go to God for any little thing. I don't go to God for myself, because He know what I need. God knows what you need, but He said, you do what I called you to do. You be obedient like I say be obedient, and pray for somebody else. Hallelujah. You need to pray for somebody else and watch God take care of your stuff. He's done it for me so many years. So many years. I thank and praise God today that He groomed me Himself. I didn't know what the world I was doing. All I know is He was drawing me. That's why I know it takes God to draw you. He was pulling the Holy Ghost. He was drawing me every day. I said, I'm going to see if I can go back in this room again and see if I could feel what I felt yesterday. I go right back in that room, stand there for hours. Sometimes I wouldn't say a word. I just sit there till He allowed me to speak. When I tell you, meditation is so important when it comes to the prophetic, it is so important. I would just go sit on the floor, on a pillow, and sit there for hours until the Holy Ghost comes. When I tell you, He would rock me. It would just be some heat, and it would just rock me back and forth. I sit right there till He finished, and then I go into prayer. It's just, He may not do you like that. He may do you altogether different, but I'm telling my story, my experience when I was young into the innocence. I tell you, and it's an experience that you will never forget. I will never forget every time God wanted me to pray. I would come in that house and He would send some kind of bird. And I saw him one day. I asked God to let me see him to scratch on a window. They would scratch on the window pane. And they were little white owls. They were owls, and they were white, and their face were dark. But they would come scratch on the window when it was time for me to come pray. And sometimes it would happen. And my ex-husband thought I was just saying stuff. But one night he heard them. He said they scratched it on the window, woke me up. But I know what God told me. So I would go in there and pray for hours, just like I do now. I ain't boasting or bragging on nothing but God. Believe me, because I'm nothing without God. Believe me, I'm not. But I'm just telling you my experience, because you're going to start experiencing different things even the more, because now you know. Now you know you're open to it, and you have to be open to expect the Holy Spirit to do anything. Sometimes he'll deal with us all differently. Sometimes we have visions. Sometimes we be in trances and we see things. Sometimes He deal with us in dreams. Sometimes we can sit up. My husband is a seer, so he can sit up or he can lay down or sit up or whatever, close his eyes and see all kind of stuff, people, stuff like that. When I tell you, it's such an experience, you would think somebody crazy. But this all has to do with the prophetic intercessory prayer. All of it has to do with that, because you, he gives you deep, the Holy Spirit gives you deep revelation. When I tell you, when you're praying in the prophetic, you start off praying in your prayer language. Now, I have prayed up to 5 hours just in my prayer language, just praying in tongues, and that is nothing. That's nothing, because I have prayed up to 8 hours at one time, just going, just going, just going. Come out, use the bathroom, and go right back. Because I want to please God. I want God to consecrate me. I want him to allow me to live a holy life. I don't care about what man think about me. I really don't. And right now in this day and age, in the time in my life, in this place in my life, I'm only trying to please God. Don't get me wrong. I do a whole lot of things wrong. Some of them I know and some of them I don't. But believe me, I'll be falling on my face, repenting before God, asking for his forgiveness. And one thing I tell you what, that I know I've grown it, is I'm a person like this. If you do something wrong to me and you ask me to forgive you, it's done. If I do something wrong to you and I ask you to forgive me, I feel like it should be done. And I thank and praise God, you know, that I can have it just like that, and I don't get upset and all bent out of whack over stupid little stuff. Sometimes devil, he'll try to make you get messed up. But we have to have enough discernment. And believe me, I'm so guilty of it. I don't do it every day. Hallelujah. And thank and praise God. But once, maybe out of 2 or 3 years, something like that will happen in my life, and to God be the glory, that lets me know God is still working on me. I'm still on the potter's wheel. And I thank and praise God that I don't think I'm better than nobody else. I just thank God today that he got me on this, in this place. I thank God for each one of you that's on this radio broadcast, because you don't have to be on here. And the ones that's on here are mostly new people. I thank God for that. I do. I thank God for you. That God, because he told me he was sending more and more people, and he is. I give him praise and glory, but it's just so many things. It's time for me to start over teaching, even about the demonic. You all need to know things. It's a lot of things you need to know. A lot of things you need to know. Hallelujah. And God expects for me to teach you. I thank and praise God for that. But we got to keep on praying. We got to keep on interceding for people. See, you have to know, some of us have the prophetic calling. And I, you know, you have to know for yourself if you've been called. Now, the signs of being called to the intercessory prayer gifting, it's like you have to believe that God has called you to pray. See, God, you know, you have, when you first accept God, you pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." That's what I was telling y'all last week. But when God really called you to pray, you're going to know it. Like I told you before, and use it as an example, how when me and my ex-husband was at Olive Garden, and that's when I was praying and the birds was coming to the window and all that. Didn't even know nothing about intercessory prayer. I was just praying because I knew God said pray. And the lady kept staring at me, and I'm like, what is she staring at me for? So I got finished eating, and I said, let's go, because I'm tired of this lady looking at me. But she stopped me. She said, "I know you think I'm crazy. I'm just staring at you. I just looked at it." She said, "But the Lord told me that you was a prayer warrior. See, when people come to you like that, white people you don't know nothing about, never seen a day in your life, and said, God told me that you were a prayer warrior. You know it was nobody but God that sent that lady to you. And she said, he told me to ask you to pray for me. And I said, what's the matter? She said, I had cancer, and it went into remission, and it has come back. And so that was my assignment. And see, when God give you an open door to pray for people in that realm, in that area, when I tell you, you got to do it, and you got to be obedient. You can't play with it. Something like cancer. See, because I know God can perform miracles. Some people don't believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. I know that God can perform miracles. He did it for me too many times. He is a miracle-working God. Believe that. God performed miracles right today. He's done it for me. When I tell you he's done it for me, and I'm not going to go and tell you all that stuff in my business and stuff, but God is a miracle-working God. He is. And you have to, when you're interceding for people that's sick and that has something like cancer, when I tell you that's work, that's work. God sent people because you can get a prayer through. I know I can, because I know how to go to God. You can't go to God any kind of way. You can't go to God and you haven't repented and you still got filth on you from not repenting. You can't go to God like that and think you're going to get your prayers answered and you haven't forgiven people that asked you to forgive them. You just holding it in your heart. Oh, yeah, I forgave him. Yeah, he told me he was sorry, so I forgave him. But every day you thinking about it in the back of your mind, it don't work like that. Your prayers will not be answered. Everything that whatever somebody that hurt you with, you got to forgive and let it go. Hallelujah. It has to go. It can't stay there, or your prayers will not be answered. I'm in the business with God for him to answer my prayers. So when I go to him, hallelujah, I get clean. I get clean from head to toe, and I put my prayer clothes on, hallelujah. When I put my prayer clothes on, I go in the prayer closet because I don't go before God in any kind of way. I can't get no prayers answered like that. When I go in there for battle and for war. Hallelujah. Have my fatigue pajamas on. Hallelujah. My war clothes. Hallelujah. And when I go before the Lord, I put everything on the line. I don't want no filthiness. When I go, I got a whole room in my house. That's my prayer room. I don't wear my shoes in there. I go in there with my shoes off. Hallelujah. Because where you be praying and standing is holy ground. Hallelujah. And I don't want nothing in there that ain't clean for the Lord. So you have to find a space in your house. If you have to go in your bathroom and put a rug down every time you go in there, well, you can say, this is my prayer rug right here in my bathroom. I can go in here and get on my knees, or I can go in here and sit on the commode and put my feet on this clean rug. And it's like holiness. And he'll come right in it. Believe me. He'll come right in there. But you got to have a place in where you can call your prayer closet, your prayer room, somewhere you can get in a corner and call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he'll hear you. He said, before you call me, I would already answer you. But you got to be in the will. It's a condition to that. You got to repent and all that other stuff. You got to confess it and repent it. Hallelujah. And God will answer prayers. A lot of people don't get their prayers answered. They don't see how. But you can't go to God with no mess on you. You cannot go to God without repenting. He don't want to see you no any kind of way. Just repent. I repent all the time because I pray all the time. I pray all the time. And I don't mind praying. Y'all know me. I don't mind calling on the Lord. I call Jesus all night long. Do you hear me? Here I am again. Hallelujah. He won't be tired of me too. Come on, daughter. Because he never turned me away. He never sent me. He never left me. Anytime I call on God to pray, call on his name, to go in prayer, he's right there. The Holy Ghost is right there. I thank and praise God for the Holy Spirit of God because he lets me know that he's in the room. Believe me, he do. Because that heat from that anointing be all over my body. Hallelujah. And I thank and praise God. And I thank and praise him not because he didn't move me to another realm in the spirit. And I know he has. I know he has because I keep getting attacked from different places. And it's all right. Because, you know, for every level, it's a different devil. But that's all right because I'm already for the battle. I'm already got my war clothes on. Hallelujah. I'm already got combat boots on in the Holy Ghost. You know, you have to fight them in the Holy Ghost, in the Holy Spirit. You have to take the Holy Spirit with you. I'm telling you, it's good like that. And I praise and thank God. But we're going to be talking. And I said on Saturday we'll have our next prayer meeting. On Thursday night, we're going to have our prayer meeting, I'm sorry, on Thursday night, 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern. We have our prayer, praise, and prophecy hour on Thursday night. On Saturday, we're going to have our next Bible class, and we will be talking about prophetic intercessors and the prayer gift. And we're going to talk a little bit, if we can, if we have enough time. We're going to be talking about the prophetic dreams, prophetic prayer, you know, prophetic training, teaching, stuff like that. We got a lot to do. We got a lot to learn. You know, I thank and praise God that we do, because this is the time now that you need your prophetic to be activated. This is the time. This is the time because it's so many things that's happening. We need to know. I taught once before to some of the people that's on the broadcast. I taught about the different ways that you be in the spirit. Like you can be in the trance. You can be a seer, prophetic seer, or prophetic, and you can be in dreams and in visions and revelation and stuff like that, that God get his word over to you so you can give it to whom he sent you to give it to. So it's a lot of things to learn because, and they're important, because you need to know when things start happening, you need to know what's going on. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why is my ear burning? Why is my eyes burning? I had my eyes on fire. I've had my ears burn. I'm telling you, it's so many things that we need to learn and to know what's happening to us. So I'm not going to hold you tonight. I thank and praise God for you out in radio land. And if you have any questions, you can call 314-299-0920. That's 314-299-0920. But I thank and praise God for all of you that's on our radio broadcast and the ones in radio land. I thank and praise God for you, the new people that we have in our on our broadcast tonight. I just give God praise because he's always encouraging me. He's always on time. I give God praise on tonight. I love him so much. He's a good God. So we're going to get ready to close out. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you tonight. I thank you for every gift. Hallelujah. I thank you for every prophetic gift. I thank you for each one of these people that's on our radio broadcast, the ones in radio land. I ask you to keep them covered in the shed blood of Jesus. I ask you to keep our covering Apostle Dean's covered in the shed blood of Jesus. And I ask you to bless every end time man and woman of War Global Ministry and member. I ask you to cover them in the shed blood of Jesus. I thank you for the word. I thank you for being in the midst. I thank you tonight for your love. We give all the praise and glory and honor to you. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen, amen. You all have a good night, a blessed night, the rest of the evening, and God be with you. I'll see you all back on the radio broadcast on Thursday, the same time. God bless you. I love you. Have a good night.
Amen. Amen.